like I picked the wrong week to quit amphetamines.
TGIF, it's Manson Mitchell with Gary Manson, Suzanne Mitchell. A double shot of good conversation with great guests to jumpstart your weekend. Manson Mitchell, you're on the air.
Thank you, Eric Crema. Hi, everybody. I'm Gary Manson.
I'm Suzanne Mitchell.
Happy Friday. Start to your weekend. And we are very happy to have a very special guest back with us again. What is it, visit number 17?
Yes, today. Today, number 17. We've been on the air. Actually, we're kind of celebrating this month as our anniversary month because we started in March of 2007. So before long, we're going to be in our 18th year, but this month we're celebrating 17 years on air. Our guest has been with us 16 times, today number 17.
We're talking about Mary Lee LeBay.
But first,
let's say hello to bad boy Benny Mathers at the board. Benny, our producer, how are you, sir?
Doing very well. Quick question for you two, actually, just popped in my head. Have you? Do you have a pet flamingo at all anywhere in your backyard?
Yes, actually.
You do?
I do, and it's not living, it's a statue.
Oh, man.
It's a 3-foot high statue, oh. and it has pink-colored crystals on it. But it's made out of iron.
So are they wild around your neighborhood and area?
No, they're actually not. But I'll tell you what is wild in our neighborhood are cranes.
Oh, yeah. Okay, sure.
Loud, loud whooping cranes. You hear them before you see them. They start screeching across the sky. And if you feed them, they will return. Hmm. So we tell everybody, do not feed them. Because they like to eat raw chicken necks.
Very specific.
Yes. If you have cranes on the roof of your home and you take out raw chicken necks and throw it up to them, they will come to your home every single day looking for their raw chicken necks. So no, we don't feed the cranes.
Okay,
they
good.
Do come swooping in once in a while.
All right.
We have tall egrets. They're probably about 3 foot tall. They're white. They're very delicate. They remind you a lot of flamingos. They're very gentle, quiet walkers.
Mm.
And they move very slowly, and they move their heads ever so subtly looking for little tiny lizards because that's their breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Sure.
And so when they see a little lizard, then they quickly jab at it and swallow it. And then we see them around.
I think it's perfect.
We have a lot of wildlife here.
I was just going to say the Manson Mitchell Wildlife segment has been brought to you by. I mean, I was ready to go into that next.
When you come to see us, Benny, you will see all the wildlife that we have. But in the meantime, happy Ides of March.
That's right.
We are not celebrating the death of Julius Caesar today. And in doing my research, I found out that the Ides of March had nothing to do with the 15th of the month. The Ides of March, which we now put on the 15th of the month, had to do with the planetary alignments lining up in such a specific way that was the day they were going to kill Caesar.
Got it.
Yep, when the Ides are all lined up, when all those planets are lined up just so, that's the day. So,
perfect.
You're benefiting from my research today.
I'm getting tons.
You know.
Getting tons, right?
I am a fount of useless information.
I don't think so.
Oh, Gary, we love our Mary Lee LeBay. Let us go ahead. You do her mad props today, and let's bring her on.
Absolutely. Mary Lee's educational background includes a PhD in behavioral psychology and certificates in clinical hypnotherapy, NLP, applied kinesiology, Reiki, gestalt therapy, and instructor of hypnotherapy. Over the years, she served on the board of directors for the Washington Hypnosis Association and the Washington chapter of the National Guild of Hypnotists. So we welcome, for the 17th time, Mary Lee LeBay. Mary Lee, how are you today?
I am wonderful because I'm here with you. I'm so delighted to be invited back again. I don't know why you do it, but here we are.
Because you say yes, that's why.
That's it is. It's a simple answer.
Yeah, your first visit with us was in 2009. We started the show in 2007, but in 2007, it was a very different show when we started with KKNW. It was on Tuesday at noon, and the show was called Give and Take with Gary Mance. And he was talking about negotiations and getting good deals on things, and his take was quite a bit different. But then, as would normally happen, I would think, things change, they morph, they grow, they expand. And so we took that little give and take with Gary Mance and created several formats over the years. And this is the one we're stuck with now because we happen to like the kind of people that we talk to on air about how to make your life better and yeah, you know, what happens to us when we leave the planet.
Yeah. You know about that.
Yeah. We've got an interesting topic to discuss with you today. When we were preparing for the show, we were wanting to talk about stress and healthy ways to relieve stress. And we said, oh my gosh, yes, yes, yes. So I wanted to get into that, and we're going to tack at it from several different angles. And one of them that I wanted to ask you right off the bat is having to do with our addictions that we have about relieving stress from the what you have seen and read and talked to people about and what you know. You know, what are we doing to relieve stress that's healthy or unhealthy?
Okay, it's a huge topic, so
jump in anywhere.
Oh my gosh. Well, from my perspective, a lot of stress is unnecessary, right? So we pile on a lot of stress for various reasons. And so when we do get stressed, it's probably a healthy exercise to sort out exactly what's happening and why, and which of those stresses are you really, you know, is it important to respond to, and which ones are just extraneous that we don't need, right? And I think we have a lot of unnecessary stress in our lives these days.
Well, one of my questions was, do we even know what we're stressed about? When somebody is feeling stress, I mean, can they really pinpoint it and say, I know it's because of this? Or are there things that are coming at us that we don't even know are stressing us out?
Right. And things are coming at us all the time. And so we do need to have a really good sense of discernment about that. A lot of the stressors have to do with getting emotionally involved about something, right? And so, first of all, we need to look at how are other situations getting us emotionally involved to a point where we're stressed. So it could be advertising. Maybe they're talking, you know, it's endless on television now about all the different drugs and pharmaceuticals and you know, and so then we start stressing, oh my God, do I have that, right?
Yeah.
I have that syndrome or that disease or, you know, it could be the news that's stressing us or whatever. But a lot of that has to do with advertisers or newscasters who want to hook you in, and they have to do that emotionally, right? So they hook you in emotionally and get you revved up. And then we're stressing about it, where if we would step back and come back to our rational self and look at it logically, maybe we wouldn't have to, maybe we could circumvent the stress and look at look at it from a different perspective. Is that making sense?
You know, interesting that you mentioned media, because I did not make a note about that. And we have talked many times, especially this year, about how we're diminishing our television watching because there's too much stress in the news. But when you're talking about media and manipulation, then we're talking about being stressed by media on purpose to sell us something.
Right.
And, you know, it's anything from a drug to a car. You know, your life is going to be a lot better if you own this particular car.
Right.
So, you know, we are being manipulated mentally and emotionally, not just by the news and the way that we're kind of being led to think about things in a certain way, but even just the advertising is enough to put somebody over the edge.
I got an article in one of my news feeds, and I'll tell you, my inbox is a nightmare. I'm sure everybody's experiencing that, where you're overloaded. Well, that's the first stressor I get every morning is, you know, 400 emails I have to get out of my inbox. But I got this one article, and it said major outlet closing 590 stores. And I thought, oh my God, you know, I better go look, right? I better go find out if, you know, is that my local grocery store? What, you know, what is this news? And I get to the article, and it's that Costco is going to be closed for one day on Easter. But you can see how they grab you with the headline, you know, major grocery outlet closing, right? And so they have to have these emotional hooks in, whether it's a news story in the newspaper, the radio, television, or if it's an article, or if it's an advertisement. They have to hook you in emotionally, and we're just getting, you know, zigged and zagged all day long. Like, what is the word we use? What happens when you get in an accident? Whiplash. Thank you.
Whiplash. Yeah.
I need my coffee to kick in. when it's like whiplash all day long, turn on the radio and there's always some crisis, right? Or whatever, except for your show, which is the lovely, you know, retreat that we have, is curating our media outlets so that we are tuning into shows that are going to uplift us and teach us something, which, you know, we're grateful for you.
Thank you. Thank you. And that's why I said, you know, do we even know what we're stressed about? Because some of this stuff is coming at us at a very subconscious level to get a hold of us. Mm-hmm. And then we're just kind of off to the stress races, as it were.
Well, and we get stressed about things that we're imagining is going to come in our future, right? So I'm going to be late to this meeting, or nobody's going to like me, or I have to go to this social event. And, you know, these kinds of stressors that oftentimes never take place, right? We get stressed and anxious about things that we're just making up in our minds. And so, again, one of the techniques to look at is, what is it, you know, this is Marcus Aurelius, right? What is it by nature, and how long will it last? That was his second principle in meditations. So that's, you know, a saying that I come back to frequently. What is this by nature, and how long will it last? And oftentimes we can just let things go.
Let things go. I think that holds especially for those of us who, more times than I care to count in my own example, have fallen prey to clickbait. And I am learning, it's taken a while, but I'm learning that if it looks like clickbait, it probably is.
Right.
So the glaring headlines, the blaring headlines don't have the hold on me that they used to, but for quite a while, they sure did.
That's their point. That's what they're hoping to have happen.
Now, the other thing that we started with that I want to go back to is when we're looking to relieve stress, when it's either the news or it's marketing or it's something, it could be any media that we're exposed to, any person, place, thing, job, whatever it is that we're exposed to, suddenly the stress begins to build up. And we need to relieve that stress in some manner. Mm-hmm. Would you agree or disagree that a lot of people will relieve their stress by going to their favorite addiction?
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Right. And sometimes that addiction is, well, it could be numbing, right? So it could be alcohol. It could be having a cigarette. It could be playing a video game. Things that distract us from whatever that stress is. Absolutely. Or it could be violence, right? You know, I'm stressed, and so I'm going to punch a wall, or I'm going to yell at somebody. You know, so it could go, you know, in many directions, I guess. But any direction you choose, if it's being chosen through your emotions and through habitual behavior, it's worthwhile looking at. Okay. You need to examine that and take a look. Is this a healthy response? Is this helping the situation? Is this furthering my character, and is this aligned with my values and morals, right?
Well, that's a lot of inward looking at yourself. You're looking at your life in a very particular way. It seems like when you're in the middle of that stress, that that's not necessarily going to be a choice point. That's going to be a, where is my, you know, whatever. I need to make a bet. I need to gamble. I need to go shop. I need to go buy something. And I'll feel better if I buy something. So there's shopping kinds of addictions and gambling addictions, drugs and alcohol and all the usual ones. Your addiction, it could be just yelling. It actually could be something like walking. You know, every time I get upset, I go for a walk. Well, that sounds kind of healthy, and it could be. It may be the go-to habit for relieving stress.
Sounds like a healthier choice.
Exactly. And that's what we were like. Can you switch them out?
Yes.
In your brain, if you, let's say, for example, that your go-to stress is to play a video game. I'm going to go play a video game. I'll be done in 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. And you're saying, you'd like to walk, you know, you'd like to get more exercise. How do you make that switch, Mary Lee, from something that's potentially, you know, less beneficial, maybe harmful, to something that actually would be beneficial? How do you know, it's like switching the plates, or switching the little place where the pee is or something, when you're got the shell game going on. How do you do that so that your mind is okay with walking rather than playing a video game?
So ideally, a person would work on that prior to the stimulus, right?
Ah, okay.
So recognizing that within yourself, that, gosh, I notice that every time I get stressed, I start yelling at people, you know, or every time I get stressed, I check out and have a drink. And recognizing that in advance. And then there are some techniques that we use in hypnotherapy that are very effective in changing those habits. You know, the first part of it is really getting aware of the nuances of that habit and why, you know, we would like to look at why does that stress you to begin with, right? Why is that a stressor? Why is that a sensitive spot? And then also changing the habit. So of course, in hypnotherapy, we can do that fairly easily, fairly rapidly. And then also if you're not going to do the therapy, then really becoming critically aware of that in the moment, right? And what would trigger it? So maybe, maybe getting overloaded with work triggers the stress response. So then recognizing what is the point before you're overloaded, right? Trying to abate it before it gets to that critical point. So looking at it and saying, okay, I know that I can feel the adrenaline starting to pump through my system. I can feel that I'm getting close to being overloaded. I need to take action now rather than waiting until I explode, right? Or I need to create a boundary and I need to say no, or I need to do something different to stop it before it gets that far. The other thing, you know, as we're talking about addictions, one of the things that happens, say it's an alcohol addiction and, you know, or smoking or whatever that is. For me, that behavior, that turning to another source of relief, like an alcohol problem, you know, overdrinking, something like that, stems from past life experience as well.
That was one of my questions.
Yeah.
Dump the gun on me.
Yeah, you know that I'm always going to come back to past lives, right? So in dealing with the addictions, when it's really an addiction, right? So stress is a different, a little bit different, although it can trigger the addiction, right? So we'd want to deal with the stress. But if a person has already gone to the level of addiction, then I would address the addiction in other lifetimes, because the things that we're doing here and things that are, you know, maybe deeply ingrained, such as an addiction, we're going to be influencing other lifetimes, but other lifetimes are going to exhibit those same addictive behaviors. So rather than trying to fight the addiction here in this one lifetime, I would go to several different lifetimes and address the addiction there, the root causes. Where did this really originate and how has this been expressed? And then address it in this lifetime. Because if we're addressing the addiction here first, we're always going to be fighting the influence of those other lifetimes.
Wow.
That is the kind of question and issue that would be great to take up on the other side of the break.
Okay. I knew we were getting close. I knew I had to bring this.
Mary Lee LeBay, this is such an important issue, and I'm sure our listeners are very interested in knowing more about your methodology and your techniques. Why don't we take our break now, and when we come back, we have the marketing piece, so you can put it out there about what you have to offer currently, and then we'll get into this very issue about dealing with addictions and other issues at the root. And it isn't necessarily all of a piece in one lifetime, if I understand Mary Lee LeBay correctly. Intriguing stuff. We are Manson Mitchell. Give us a couple of minutes. We will be right back.
Hi, everybody. This is Anson Williams from Happy Days, and I'm so excited to tell you about American Road. It is the best car travel magazine in the world. They have the most fantastic adventures detailed in each magazine with all your itinerary. We could just jump in the car with your family and have the most fabulous adventures you've ever had in your life. Please get a copy of American Road and start your own adventure.
If you are ready to add certified hypnotherapist and certified past life regressionist to your credentials, Mary Lee LeBay is offering a 120-hour certification course online starting April 16. Invest 2 hours every Tuesday from 10 a.m. to noon for 10 weeks for your personal and professional growth. Receive a one-hour private hypnotherapy or past life session with Mary Lee and a copy of her latest book, Mastering Hypnotherapy, Transformational Strategies for Healers and Coaches. Manson Mitchell listeners save 20% by registering with coupon code RADIO20 for savings totaling over $1,000. This offer ends on March 16 for the general public and is extended to March 23 for listeners of this show. Go to MaryLeeLeBay.com and register today.
Staying connected with Gary Mance and Suzanne Mitchell is easy. Just go to manceandmitchell.com for the latest info on topics and guests. Friend Gary Mance and Suzanne Mitchell on their Facebook pages and like the Mance and Mitchell show page at facebook.com/Mance and Mitchell. If you're on Twitter, share a follow with Gary and Suzanne at Mance Mitchell. Join Gary and Suzanne Friday and Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. for an unusual show that covers everything from personal growth to the paranormal.
Here's an amazing act. Here's a tremendous act. Here's a startling act. The amazing, the thrilling, the greatest, spectacular, incredible, exciting, wonderful, world fame, most unusual, novelty act.
The home of the A-Team of Alternative Talk is manceandmitchell.com. Heard right here on Alternative Talk 1150 a.m. or streaming live from your computer anywhere.
Terry Loving wants to help you with your online marketing challenges right now. She has several courses she is giving away to help you get your business working for you online. Yes, giving away. WordPress websites are her specialty, yet her technical skills go way beyond that. Check out her blog at terryloving.com or email her directly at terry@terryloving.com. That's terry@terryloving.com.
On Friday, Manson Mitchell welcomed Mary Lee LeBay, hypnotherapist and past life regressionist, to talk about our addictions as well as healthy stress relievers for overly pressured times.
On Saturday, Shepard Siegel returns with serious fun as we shine a light on tricksters and the way they trick powerful people into performing loving acts.
Bringing you mastery and mystery since 2007.
We are Manson Mitchell, Friday and Saturday mornings at 10 on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Get your daily dose of variety. Alternative Talk, 1150.
Welcome back to Manson Mitchell and our special guest, Mary Lee LeBay. Mary Lee, if people would like to get in touch with you now, on the commercial break, we did run a promotion for something very specific that you're doing, but I also want to give you a chance to not only talk about your class, but also your website and social media and anything else that you want to put out here at this time.
Oh, thank you. Well, my website is Mary Lee LeBay, MaryLeeLeBay.com. And so most everything you can find there. But what you're referring to is I am an instructor of hypnotherapy, and I have a course that is online, so you can take it anytime you want. But it's it includes 20 hours of Zoom calls. It's 2 hours a week for 10 weeks, starting April 16th. And normally we have a savings, an early bird savings that's ending tomorrow. But for your audience only, I'm extending that an extra week, I believe. I think you know the date on
that. Yes, the 23rd. Yes. A week from tomorrow. Yeah.
And with that bonus, they get, or people who register with that bonus, Radio 20, with that coupon code, you will get 20% off of the tuition. You'll get a copy of my latest book, Mastering Hypnotherapy, and you'll get a 1-hour session with me, which is valued at around $300. And so we're going to have a lot of fun. Also in the course, you can repeat those Zoom calls every time I offer them. So you can always come back and renew your education, ask more questions. You can access the course forever, you know, as long as I'm still kicking and keeping it alive. So it's a really good opportunity to learn hypnotherapy and past life regression. But everything else that I'm doing is on my website. So it's, you know, under events, I always have events going on, and my contact information. If you do want to connect with me, you can text me at 425-562-7277. And the reason I say that is I typically don't answer the phone unless I know the number, unless it comes up on my ID, just because I'm inundated with phone calls. And also I might be in a session or something. So text me first and we can set up a call.
Excellent. Thank you.
We were talking about people, their issues, their addictions, and how deeply rooted they can be. They might go all the way back to what, 2, 3, 4, 5 lifetimes ago, or it could be something that people keep coming in with. And this is to take the reincarnationist perspective, of course. People might come back with the same issue that they've been battling a dozen or more lifetimes.
Yes, for sure. So when I deal with people with addictions, definitely past lives are a part of the process. And actually, anybody that's listening that is a counselor or a coach or deal with addictions, addiction counselors, they would certainly benefit from this training. Because if you think of our lifetimes like a multifaceted diamond, right? So, or maybe a sphere, but with facets, and there's an infinite number of facets, and each one representing a lifetime that we've lived. We're, you know, most people are living on one facet with no idea about what's happening in the rest of their soul in all these lifetimes. And the rest of those facets, all those other lifetimes, hold the information and wisdom that we've gained over all those lifetimes. It has clues to our purpose, our character. You know, we're always going, oh, I'm searching for myself. I want to know more about who I am. The easiest way to do that is to go into past lives. So bringing it back to addictions, if you can imagine that sphere with all these multiple facets, and then you look at maybe a dozen of them that are lit up that are showing you where there's addictive problems or there's a tendency towards addictions, and it could be hundreds of them, but let's just say there's a dozen main ones where there's an addiction issue. If you're standing on one facet and you're struggling to overcome this addiction, that's why people go back to their addiction. That's why there's failures, and because they're being pulled by that influence from those other lifetimes. So it's vitally important to go into the major lifetimes. You don't have to always go into all of them, but you go into the major ones and understand where this began, what are the factors. And the person is going to learn a lot more about the nature of their addiction and be able to control it better. But I've also created a way that's fairly unique to go in and actually do the healing in the past life. So we make those changes there. We soften that tendency towards addiction, or maybe even change it altogether. And then that is not, that's no longer influencing the person. So if we do that in several lifetimes, then we come back to the present lifetime, and it's really easy to get them past that that tendency towards addiction. Then we can replace that with a different go-to habit, right? A healthy habit that's more life-affirming.
One of the things that we have heard before and brought up before, and I'm going to bring it up again, is that when you make a significant change in one lifetime, you are healing for all your lifetimes.
Right. So, a lot of times, you know, people who subscribe to the idea of past lives, they're saying, you know, I have this influence from another lifetime, you know, so we're, you know, pretty well on board with that. But we also have to look at the fact that we are also influencing those lifetimes. So again, if you're looking at the sphere with all the facets, they're all connected, right? That's all a part of who you are, you know, substantial, the foundation of who you are is the whole thing together. And so, all of those addictions, or even those powerful, positive traits are influencing who you are here. But as you make the change here, which is the only place we can really make changes, except in, when we're present in the past life, then we can change there. But here is where our conscious focus is. So as we make substantial character changes, not just, you know, wear a different outfit or, you know, change your eating habits, but actually make a substantial character change, then that ripples out like a stone tossed into a pond. It ripples out and influences those other lifetimes. It may be immediate, it may be, you know, takes a little bit of time, you know, but it has to be a final change. You know, it can't be like, oh, I'm going to be a better person, you know, or I'm trying to be a better person. You actually have to be that new characteristic in order for that to ripple out through those other lifetimes.
More than just an intention, you have to actually embody that new characteristic.
Right. It has to be real. And that's what we carry with us from life to life also. So the intention, but the actual character. So as we build that character with us, inside of us, when we incarnate next time, that will be our starting place. That will be carried with us. So if we have bad habits, addictions, questionable characteristics, shady morality, all of that, those are part of our character. And so those will come in with us next time. That's why it's so important to address all of those things now, as much of that as you can, when you recognize something in you, to fix it in this lifetime. Otherwise, it'll just go on to the next lifetime and you get to fix it there.
I can't think of the exact quote, but the quote from Einstein about how you can't fix the problem at the level that the problem is at.
Oh,
reminds me of trying to fix ourselves using our egos, I'm strong and I can change this. I can go from smoking to walking. I can make this change. We think that we are in control of our lives to such a degree that we are going to use the same thinking that got us into the problem to get us out of the problem. And I'm wondering if in your work you have people who can only make those significant changes by going to a higher consciousness or a higher source, or use spirituality to make those final changes, or if you can make those changes just using your own stinking thinking.
Well, that's the beauty of hypnotherapy, is when they're in that trance state, they are connected to a higher level of their own consciousness. This allows us to have a different perspective on the problem, which resolves the Einstein quote, is, you know, stepping away from our small thinking or our habitual thinking or our emotional, you know, buy into the problem, and stepping back and taking a look at it from a much different perspective, or maybe multiple perspectives. Or, you know, with me, then I might even take them into a past life where they've dealt with something similar. And then we look at it, because we're watching, it's us that's there, but we're looking at it also from more of a dissociated perspective. So it's easier to see the problem and the thinking and the patterns from that perspective. And so when we see how it's operating in that other lifetime, we can bring it back here, because it's the same problem and the same habitual behavior. And now we can apply what we've learned from this new perspective. Is that making sense?
The new perspective sounds like it may very well be your higher consciousness.
Right. And that's where what we're accessing in the hypnotic state is that we have more of a connection and a channel of communication from our higher self or our subconscious mind, where, you know, habits are subconscious, right? So we need to get in to do the tinkering.
Okay.
I can see a lot of value in detaching my emotions from a problem so that I can have more or deeper perspective. When you're emotionally tied in, but you're responding to a trigger, to various forms of clickbait beyond just the computer, right? Beyond what you see in your inbox. But detachment seems like such a valuable tool, unless it gets to the point where you're so detached that you are indifferent. I don't think indifference should be the goal, unless it's indifferent to things that used to trigger you.
Right. Yeah. It's smoothing that trigger out. Yeah. But yes, definitely using our reasoning mind and aligning that with our values. So one of the things I do with my clients and with my students is we go through and create a hierarchy of our values. And when we do that rationally, not what I should have as a value or, you know, out of guilt or whatever, but really rationally, these are the values that I have. And in fact, I think that a misalignment of our behaviors compared to our value system is probably foundational in creating stress for us. So so this value exercise might, right now I'm teaching a weekly class, which is available to anyone, because we do it over Zoom as well as in person here in Bellevue, Washington. It's called Wild Wisdom Circle, but I'm having them do the values exercise. We're going through the tarot cards very slowly and in depth, and really studying that. But they're doing their values also, because as we're going through the symbology and the application of the tarot, we're looking at how that aligns with our values. We'll need a longer explanation. But anyway, So when you actually have that logical hierarchy of values stated in a rational way, not, again, not out of guilt, you know, oh, I should put my mom in here, even though I don't value her that much or whatever, you know, or that friend or that person, creating it logically, then the idea is to act accordingly. And when we don't act accordingly to our values, that is where our stress is. That's where we don't have boundaries, or we give our power over to someone else, or we allow them to influence us to go after some other value that is not on our higher value list. You know, stating, oh, it's important for me to be healthy, but then in my behavior, I'm eating junk food. You know, all these things that we do that are out of alignment are going to create the primary stressors in our lives. And so for me, if you are prone to stress, that would be a place to start. And again, contact me if you want some instructions on that.
I'm fascinated. I wrote down the misalignment of the values with actions causes the stress.
Yeah.
And I just think that's a really valuable piece of information for people to be looking at when they are stressed, because, you know, as you pointed out, it may be that we logically think, well, we should value this,
mm-hmm.
when our actions don't line up with that. So what do we value? And I think oftentimes you can see what you value by your actions. Exactly. What have you done? What is important?
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Your actions, you know, that's what they say. You'll know them by their fruits. People can tell you anything, but what is it they're doing? Right. And that's, you know, a good way to watch the news. They're telling you all this stuff, but what is it that's happening? What are they really doing? Right?
Watch what they do, not what they say.
Exactly. You have to do that for yourself too.
Yeah.
If I say, you know, being in shape and fit and healthy is important, but I don't go to the gym and I don't, you know, eat right, and I allow myself to be stressed, then there's a misalignment there. And then that'll create this problem in your life.
Very good.
I have a question. Here's a curveball for you.
I know
you will answer knowledgeably, insightfully, as you always do, Mary Lee. Back in the 70s, I remember talking with people about Gestalt therapy.
Oh.
I heard about it a lot. Gestalt therapy. And today I want to ask, whatever happened to it?
Well, I practice it. I think it's fantastic. It was developed by Fritz Perls, and I love his work. So actually, you do see it when you watch people who are examining micro expressions. And so there used to be a show. Oh, I can't think of the title of it. But there is a YouTube channel where there's four guys, and again, I don't remember what they call themselves, but they analyze people in the news and in trials and different things, and they'll tell you whether they're lying or not, and they're analyzing the micro expressions. So Gestalt just means the whole picture, right? And so I use it in my practice in that I'm watching and listening to my client very carefully. So what words are they using? How are they expressing themselves? What are the micro expressions? What are the nervous, you know, like I had a client who was just very calm. He was in trance. We were doing our therapy. And when he mentioned his father, his foot started to jiggle. And so I came back to that and I said, I noticed that when you mentioned your father, your foot started to jiggle. And he said, oh, yeah, no, there's no problem there. And I said, well, just tell me a little bit about your relationship with your father. Well, it just opened up a whole can of worms, right? So there was a huge amount of emotion that was involved with the idea of the father. But he would have, he didn't think it was something to bring up. But I noticed that with the foot. And so that would be an example of using the gestalt therapy within the session. And Benny just put up here the behavioral panel. So if you go to YouTube to the behavioral panel, that's the four guys that show you, famous people when they're responding to questions and they talk about how you can notice these things. And it's a good education. I like watching it just because, you know, it makes me smarter in watching people.
Thank you. Thank you. And thank you, Benny, the behavior panel. I'm going to look that up as well. Very interesting to see how that works. Gestalt.
When it comes to cognitive behavioral therapy, in your practice, functionally, what does it mean to you, Mary Lee?
Okay, I don't actually do cognitive behavioral therapy. That's an actual therapy process. I have not been trained in it. So I do, behavioral therapy in that I help people to change their behavior and responses. And I would imagine that the word cognitive just means rational or being aware. I practice my own form of that, but I'm not trained as a CBT therapist.
You have a curriculum vitae that's quite impressive. For example, some of your techniques, Ericksonian hypnosis. I've never even heard of that before.
Oh, it comes from Milton Erickson. So there are a couple of techniques that he brought up or that I use sometimes, but he was really big on storytelling. So using metaphor and using the environment, like even an induction where you're just talking about the environment around you, the temperature of the air on your skin, the sound of the airplane as it goes overhead, the scent of, fresh air or whatever that is. So you're just using the available sensory data to take a person deeper and deeper inside into their self-awareness as you take them into trance. Another one of his techniques was called the confusion induction. And I used to use that, and it was fun it was interesting because some clients loved it and they went into just a super deep trance state. And then other people, that were.
I believe she has frozen on us.
Oh my gosh.
Oh no.
Right in the middle of a word.
Don't.
And we're coming up to the end of the show. I don't know if we will be able to get Mary Lee unfrozen in the next couple of minutes. But, just in case we don't, I want to go ahead and give out her website once again, which is maryleelabay.com, maryleelabay.com. She does have a class coming up. She is a fascinating person with, as Gary said, all kinds of modalities that she can use, including hypnotherapy and past life regression. I have had a past life regression with Mary Lee LeBay, and she had a CD, don't know if it's still available, which I used for a second regression. And it's I think it's really interesting and useful to look at past lives and to see what was going on in those past lives and how it may have some kind of influence on your life today. So it doesn't look like we're getting her back.
Thank you, Mary Lee LeBay, visiting with us today.
Thank her anyway. We'll thank her for any coming back. And next time will be number 18. That sounds pretty good.
Coming up tomorrow.
And coming up tomorrow, we have Shep Siegel. We're going to be talking about the power of play and disrupting power and having acts of love performed by power that don't even want to do it.
And the role of the trickster.
The role of the trickster.
Thanks so much for listening, everyone. We hope this is the start of your great weekend.